Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
So, of course, maybe we wouldn't have to keep fixing our phones if we weren't so obsessed with them. According to a new study by the American Psychological Association, nearly half of Americans say they are checking their emails, texts, or social media accounts constantly. And I am guilty. I am one of those folks. And while it's probably not surprising to you, what you might be surprised by is the reason we can't stop checking. Sharon Begley has written a book about why so many of us are constant checkers and what drives our compulsions, from tweeting to online shopping to hoarding. Begley is a senior science writer for STAT, the life sciences publication of the Boston Globe, and she's written a new book called Can't Stop, An Investigation of Compulsions. It covers the broad spectrum of compulsions, from the very mild to the life-altering. And she joins us now in studio. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you, Tanya.
So I am really fascinated by this subject, and most of us have seen firsthand or heard of compulsive behaviors before, but you say there is a spectrum. I'd like for you to describe that.
There definitely is. From the mild, which I think most of us have some form of, to the extreme, where it's diagnosable, it's a recognized psychiatric disorder, and it can really impair your life and cause you huge distress. So at the extreme would be something like obsessive compulsive disorder. But the more mild form would be, let me give you an example of someone from the book, someone who just feels she needs a little island of calm, tranquility and order in her home, because the outside world is crazy and uncontrollable. So by God, her home is going to be, right. You know, she's compulsive about how she arranges her teacups and her dining room chairs, how the bath towels hang. Mm-hmm. And again, she was able to articulate this. The outside world is beyond my control, but I am going to have an island of calm, serenity and control here where I live. And she feels compulsive about doing that.
On this idea of our technologies, comedian Louis C.K. Had a bit on the Conan O'Brien show from September 2013 where he talked about this a bit. Let's hear a little bit of that.
You need to build an ability to just be yourself and not be doing something. That's what the phones are taking away.
Yes.
Is the ability to just sit there. Because, you know, underneath everything in your life, there's that thing, that empty, forever empty. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
That knowledge that it's all for nothing and you're alone. You know, it's down there. And that's why we text and drive. I look around, pretty much 100% of people driving are texting.
Yes.
And they're killing, everybody's murdering each other with their cars.
Yes.
But people are willing to risk taking a life and ruining their own because they don't want to be alone for a second.
That really gets me in the gut. Is that forever empty just another description for anxiety?
It is. And, you know, Louis C.K. could be running a psychology department, because there actually was an experiment in which people were given the choice of either no phone or an electric shock. And people preferred the mild electric shock. You know,
no.
It wasn't. They said, no, I would rather have the mild electric shock than for you, the researcher, to take my smartphone away from me for even like 20 minutes. We weren't talking about going without it for a week. So we are absolutely tied to our electronic devices. And exactly as you said, Tanya, the underlying motivation, emotion, is anxiety, that when we don't have them in our hands, when we can't check them constantly, this intolerable anxiety just rises up in us. And then, of course, the question is, where does that come from? FOMO, fear of missing out, is now so common. It has its own acronym. The feeling that if we are not constantly checking, some amazingly fascinating or important thing is going on that we're not aware of. And the other little thing, again, how we, can't stand to be without them. To Louis C.K.'s point, we're really bad at being alone with our own thoughts. Mm. And it's so easy to just not have to face that if you can just look at your screen.
Right. Okay, so we need to have callers call in about this, because I know people might have a lot of questions for you. So are some of these compulsions familiar to you out there, our listening audience? How do you deal with your anxiety? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-5555. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston as well. So going back to that idea of anxiety, I think for me that really brings about this idea that maybe this is not some sort of clinical disorder. Doesn't it mean we have a pathology in many ways? Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
I'd put it slightly differently. Something that I say in the book is that just because you have a compulsion does not mean that your brain is broken. In fact, compulsion is often a way to defuse anxiety that we all feel for, you know, just because that's how the world is. So it's what scientists call an adaptive response. It's a way, again, to sort of drain away anxiety that you would otherwise feel. You know, to repeat myself, once it gets to be distressing and impairing your life, then you have segued into an actual mental disorder. But there are just tons of compulsions that are well short of us and that actually serve us very well.
So your book focuses a lot on compulsions that are not the classic obsessive compulsive disorders. But you did talk to people that were diagnosed with OCD and why they felt compelled to do what they do. Can you share a little bit of light on those compulsions?
So OCD is an unusual mental disorder because it is characterized by the technical term is it's ego dystonic, which simply means that with one little part of your brain, even as another part of your brain is telling you your hands are covered with germs, so go wash them for the 57th time that day, or you left the front door open, so you have to go running back on your way to work and check that it really is locked, or the stove is on, all these things that are characteristic of OCD. With a little part of your brain, you're getting the message, I really know that that's not the case. Mm. So people are just hugely torn. They're getting the strong message, uh-oh, wash your hands or check the stove. But they really know that they just checked the stove. They just checked the door. They just washed their hands. So that's why it can be so, so alarming. So I talked to many people with OCD, and it shows up in some of the oddest ways. One woman was convinced that her cat was locked in the refrigerator. And she would check once. You know, accidents can happen. Maybe Fred really
right,
was
in
the refrigerator.
Right, got in there by mistake,
you know?
Yeah.
So she checked. He wasn't there. All was good. And then, you know, she waited a few minutes, and then she thought, what if he was actually behind the huge gallon jug of milk? I better check again. So she could not tear herself away from checking, which is obviously not a good way to spend the afternoon. And the hoarders I spoke with, again, just the inability to let go of anything. The general reason is anxiety, but each of them had their own uniquely personal stories about where that anxiety came from.
So we have some folks that have called, and some of them are really interested in this idea of tying social media with compulsions or with anxiety. So Norlene says there are two sides for her in this. Norlene?
Yes. How are you?
Hi, how are you? You were saying that there are two sides of the story for you on this idea of compulsion and your devices, for instance.
Yes. So, for example, you know, in years gone by, in like 40 years ago, when I started in the working world, we didn't have phones back then. And also, right around that time, we typically worked 40 hours, went home, and that would be it until the next day. But in today's climate, you, especially if you're salary paid, you tend to be working around the clock for whatever reason to keep pace with, that's just the way it is. And so we are forced to be tied to these electronic devices. And the flip side of it is, because of that same reason, I, for one, cherish the thought when you're able to just put it aside, shut it off, put it aside, and get more personal with people around you.
Norlene brings up an excellent point. Thank you so much, Norlene. This idea that we have to be on because of our jobs, they require it. FOMO, that's what you were talking about.
And if we're not on, then by ignoring it or by turning it off, again, anxiety that we are missing an important message or order from our boss. Mm-hmm. So again, it's anxiety. And actually, Tanya, when I started the book, one of the motivations was just, so I work in a newsroom, of course, just seeing that I, my friends, my colleagues, we can't go to the restroom without the phone because, again, you are just filled with anxiety that you're going to miss an important call from a source or your boss or whatever. And you mentioned that compulsions are different from addictions. Addictions, you know, say what you will about them, and I don't mean to belittle them, but at least they are born out of a sense of joy and fun, and you actually like them. You know, you're addicted to chocolate or you're addicted to gaming or you're addicted to even gambling. With compulsions, there's not a lot of joy there. And again, I would, you know, refer you to, as the caller said, to how we feel tethered to our digital devices. It doesn't feel fun. It doesn't feel like we love it. It feels like we have to. And if we don't do it, it's anxiety.
Right. We can't stop. We have Doug. He's calling from Natick. And Doug, you say you have no anxiety. Tell us a little bit more about that.
I'm not the least bit worried about missing anything important. I'm not only not anxious about being alone, in fact, I'm desperate to be alone with my thoughts, in part because I'm writing a book. And as your guest knows, if you're writing a book, it requires a lot of attention and thought, and you can't be disturbed by phone calls or looking at your phone. In fact, all of my incoming phone calls are automatically go to my voicemail. I check it once a day. All of my email automatically gets saved, and once a day I look at my 300 emails. So I don't feel a sense of anxiety except when I am forced to look at my phone because my boss says, you know, we're going to need to be on the phone a lot now, and that, you know, then I have anxiety because I'm forced to have this stupid phone injected into my life. And lest you think that I'm a technological troglodyte or something, I have a PhD in computer science. I have a PhD in electrical engineering. I've been in the computer business designing computers since for about 45 years. So not only am I not an old fogey who doesn't get it, I'm still designing computers as a consultant for the Defense Department. So I'm still on top of technology more than most people, and yet I don't fit into this category that your guest is talking about.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you very much. So is Doug like an anomaly, or is that...
Well, I would say Doug has the right idea, and we should all try a little harder to emulate him. The reason why it's so hard to do that is that our electronic devices, whether it's text or emails or the latest post on Facebook or the latest amazing tweet, they have a characteristic that psychologists call variable intermittent rewards, which simply means a lot of them can come in. You know, most of the texts that you get, certainly most of the tweets that you see, you really would have been just fine ignoring them, as Doug told us. But every once in a while, there's one that's really, really good. Mm-hmm. And variable intermittent rewards are the sort of slot machine model. Mm-hmm. You know, you pull and pull and pull in the old kind before they were all electronic. And usually it would just be, lemon, cherry, whatever. You'd get nothing. But every once in a while, it was a jackpot. And that's exactly what social media is like in its reward structure. You might have just checked all your email, but you can't be sure that a new one just came in the last 5 seconds, and it is, going to transform your life, or at least be, interesting and fun. So that's why, again, the human mind is structured in a way that makes it really, really hard to resist variable intermittent rewards.
It's just really, it opens up so much for me, this idea that it's just sort of a natural human trait, part of the human condition, that we're wired to respond and want that type of gratification.
You know, really, that was one of the messages that I hope readers come away with, because I think it's very easy to belittle, to make fun of people who behave compulsively. Certainly hoarders have been on the receiving end of that with many of the cable shows. But what I hope is that people look inside themselves at least a little bit, recognize some of their own compulsions, and have a greater understanding of and maybe even sympathy for people in their lives who they see behaving compulsively, understand where it comes from. And of course, if you understand it in your own life, then you have, at least a fighting chance of overcoming it if you want to.
Let's take one more call because you're really popular. We have Shannon, and she's calling from Milton. And she's talking about her phone in her purse and the anxiety around that. Shannon.
Well, it's I don't just worry that my phone isn't in my... So, for example, I have my purse, and I say, oh, do I have my phone? I can't just open my purse and see my phone. I have to touch my phone. It's very, and it's starting to be, you know, it takes a lot of time. Car keys, same thing. Wallet, I can't just say, oh, yeah, there they are. I have to touch them.
Thank you for that. So you need to, like, touch your phone for reassurance is what you're saying, kind of just to make sure that it's there.
I guess that's what it is. It's just, it's annoying because it takes up so much time.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Shannon. Let's have one more caller. We have Sam. He's calling from Harvard. And he says he has a lot of anxiety when he does not have his phone. Hi, Sam.
Hi. Yeah, I got, I just have, like, this major OCD. It's, like, almost like OCD. Like, the red banners on the top of the apps have to be gone by the time I go to bed. And if I don't have my phone on me, it's a whole other issue because I get almost full-blown panic attacks because I already have an anxiety disorder. So it's, like, really hard for me not to have it. Like, I always have to have it and know that it's there.
Mm. What do you say to that? That idea that he can't even go to sleep until he knows that they're all clear.
You definitely have a more difficult to deal with form, a definitely more extreme form of it. But again, human behavior exists on this spectrum, as we were saying earlier. And if you're at the extreme end, it's really, really tough. You know, one of the interesting things about the previous caller and having to touch it, I just go back to the woman I interviewed who couldn't believe her eyes that Fred, her cat, was not in the refrigerator. Sometimes we can't believe our eyes, and we need to feel that darn thing to be sure that it's in our purse.
There is this idea of having a simpler life, and maybe really this excess and this access that we have to excess contributing to our need and our want to continue to fulfill that. Is that something that is a Western phenomenon, and is it a true thing?
I don't think we can call it Western anymore now that so much of this has permeated non-Western countries. But absolutely, there is a recognition that things have perhaps gone too far. So that's why you see, you know, events like the National Day of Unplugging, you know, San Francisco Unplugged, especially for digital media, just efforts to somehow wean people from their, you know, digital crutches. I'm going back to one of the earlier callers who said that he will go to the end of the day before checking emails. So that's one of the ways you can try to do it. So, like, don't go cold turkey, but see if you can sleep overnight without having your phone on, or see if you can get through a dinner with friends without the phone on. Again, not telling you to go 24/7 without it, but see if you can do it for just, you know, an hour or a few minutes. And if you then get the message from that experience that the world did not end,
right.
If you were able to, you know, sort of keep your anxiety under control, then that might give you the wherewithal to dial back even further.
Sharon Begley, thank you so much for joining us. Sharon is the senior science writer at STAT, the life sciences publication of the Boston Globe. Her new book is Can't Just Stop, An Investigation of Compulsions. Thank you so much, Sharon.
Thank you, Tanya.
And stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tanya Mosley. This is Radio Boston.